Good morning. Christ is risen. A blessing today to be in church again, a week after the Lord's resurrection. So I sat down to write a sermon for today, and for some strange reason, well, no, not strange reason at all, very reasonable reason, I hooked myself while sitting down to type on the computer, hooked myself to some piano and violin sonatas of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And it's a good thing that I did that, because the violin sonata number 25 in F major starts with so much, I can only say, rollicking energy from the pianist, the great Japanese pianist, Michiko Uchida. And as I started reading the text from the book of Acts, chapter 5, which we just heard read so well by Matt, and listening to this opening movement of the violin sonata in F major, I said, thank you, Lord. This is exactly what I needed to be listening to while I think about this text in the book of Acts. Because what I saw both in the music and in the reading from the book of Acts was joy, joy, joy. Just joy, uninhibited, rollicking joy. Yes, we do get that little bit in the middle of the high priest and the Sadducees, but they were always downers anyway. They were always against Jesus. They always lacked joy. So I just ignore them, because their negativity could not stand up to the joy and the liberation that was stirring multitudes that day in Jerusalem. The high priests and the Sadducees had the apostles locked up. When they couldn't stop them, they locked them up in prison. That's what you do. You put somebody in prison if you can't stop them, right? But an angel of the Lord released them and told them these amazing, wonderful words. Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Forget the high priest. Go to his place. Go to the temple where he is the boss. And stand there in the temple in open opposition to the high priest. And speak to the people all the words of this life. Fantastic words. And that's what I want to talk about today. The piano sonata that I was listening to begins with a fast movement that is full of unhindered energy and joy, but the second and third movements are more meditative, more subdued, but still joyful and full of hope. And in these three movements of this 20-minute sonata, I heard what I also hear in the reading from Acts, an outburst of signs and wonders we heard at the beginning of the reading. People bringing their sick to be healed, people gathering multitudes, multitudes of people gathering to listen to the apostles to be healed. An amazing, energetic, powerful beginning. And God provided that immense energy as an opening movement in bringing people to faith in Christ. But then what follows? Signs and wonders have to end at some point. And if you're looking for signs and wonders constantly, you're in the wrong church and you're in the wrong faith. Because that was not Jesus' promise, that signs and wonders will be just ongoing forever and ever. St. Paul tells us that they come to an end at some point. They come to an end at some point when they're not needed. When they're not needed. Because what is needed then is what the angel told the apostles, go and tell the people the words of this life. That's the important thing. Not signs and wonders, not even the healings, not the miracles, but the words of this life. That's where real Christianity begins. That's where the signs and wonders end, when we start teaching and preaching and telling the words of this life. Yes, my dear friends, because Christ came to bring life to the world. He said it. He said it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life. He says elsewhere, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Have it overflowing without measure. When the world was filled with so much darkness and violence, the apostles were commanded to speak the words of this life, not some life of man's invention, but the words of this life, the life that is Jesus Christ, the life that comes from Jesus Christ, the life that he pours out onto the world when he breathes on us and gives us the Holy Spirit. Today also we live in a world that is dominated by violence and unchecked power. Is there really any difference between us today and the people who lived in the terrors of the Roman Empire? And could the Jews of that time find, well, okay, Rome is terrorizing us. Can we at least go to the temple and find some relief there? Some relief? They couldn't find it there either, because the religious leaders, like the high priest and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they translated Roman power to their own positions of power. St. Luke tells us in today's reading from Acts that the high priest and the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They were jealous of the popularity that the apostles enjoyed. But I think that they were also jealous of the power of Rome. They were jealous of the power that Rome had. So why should they not imitate the power of Rome when they attacked the apostles? This is how power works among men, but this is not how power works with God. Because Jesus at another time told his apostles, you know, these Gentile rulers lord it over them, lord it over the people. But it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you, Jesus told his disciples. Let the first be last. Be a servant. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be held on to for dear life, to be grasped. But he emptied himself, even to the point of death on the cross. He emptied himself and he took on a new form. Though he was in the form of God, He now was in the form of man. And he died. And he died while serving the men and women of this world. That's how Paul represents the incarnation, the coming of the Son of God as a man born of a woman. And servant indeed, Jesus Christ was when he lived among the people. Servant he was, the opposite of what the religious leaders were, and certainly the opposite of Rome, but also of the religious leaders who tried their best to copy the imperial authorities of Rome. Don't look to be served, Jesus said, but serve as you see me serve you, as you see me wash your feet. And Jesus washed their feet. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. We heard him say in the gospel reading today, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. To be servant, let's get this clear. To be servant does not mean letting other people walk over you. If it comes to that, you accept it. But that's not the point. There is power in service. There is power in the service that Jesus commanded. When the service is done voluntarily, and when it is led by the Holy Spirit, because the power that the Holy Spirit gives is totally different from the power of the world and worldly authorities. We call him the doubting Thomas. I like him. And I say that Thomas was not wrong. He was not wrong in what he asked. As a matter of fact, he expressed precisely what the Lord looks to find in us. Because Jesus lost patience with people who wanted signs and wonders and miracles. And he said, this adulterous generation, all they want is signs and wonders. But only one sign will be given unto them. One sign only. The sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah. The prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. The sign of Jonah. The sign of God's desire for people to repent and come to the knowledge of truth. And the sign of resurrection and new life. That's what Jesus brings. Signs and miracles have their place when God wills, but they are not the life that the apostles speak, that we speak. Let's not try to impress people with the trappings of religion. We're quite good at that because we have many trappings. But let's not try to impress people with things like that. They have their place, just like signs and wonders have their place. But that's not what it's all about. Let's not brag about being the true church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Let's not brag about being the true church. If the signs of the life are not among us. We have no right to call ourselves the true church if the signs, if the words of that life are not in our midst, are not visible in us, are not visible in what we do, are not visible in how we relate to each other. We have no right if those signs are not there. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, Jesus said. That's what Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas was not looking for power. He wanted to see and touch the signs of Christ's self-emptying, the kenosis that Paul speaks of in that famous passage from his letter to the Philippians. He wanted to see and touch the wounds of Jesus Christ. The proof, the sign, the tangible sign of his self-emptying, of his kenosis. And that's what Christ is telling us also. So shall not be so among you. You shall not be like the world. You have a different approach to life, a different approach to service, to responsibility. And there's joy in it all from beginning to end. That's the joy that Christ brings to you when you hear the words of life, and you hear those words of life here every Sunday. If not from me, certainly from the prayers, the hymns, and what you receive in communion. The life of him who became a servant to a world that continues to reject him. He is the only Savior the world will ever know. There is no other Savior. And if you don't think you don't need a Savior, well then, well, I think you do. I think you do. Those people who say they don't need a Savior, they're just lying to themselves. Because they do. And they're not. And it shows in their lives. He's the only Savior the world will ever know, the only true Savior, because he is the wounded Savior. Wounded with love for the world, for you and me. So touch his wounds today. They are everywhere. Just open the door, walk out, and you see the wounds of Christ. But they're also in you. We are all wounded. And the wounds of Christ are present in us as well. And by touching these wounds, you bring healing, God's healing. God can work in you and in me as he worked through the apostles and Peter's shadow. Peter's shadow. They put sick people down on the ground so that when Peter passed by, his shadow would fall on them. God allowed that. He still allows that sometimes. Still allows that, especially in shrines in Greece and Italy and France and Spain and the old world. It still happens. Not because it's the essence, but because God allows it. But really, it is only Christ's shadow that can bring life to each of us, to the church, to our nation, to the world. Christ is truly risen. Amen.